Shabbat Shalom. First of all, if there's anyone left still wondering, yes, my wife is still pregnant, and no, she has not yet given birth. And now that we have that out of the way, I'll head back to our parsha. Every year when I come to the story of Pinchas, I feel as if I have whiplash from the year before. Every year I feel myself feeling the exact opposite as I did about this story. Some years I love Pinchas, some years I am sad that he is among our ancestors and that this is a story included. And for those of you who don't remember, Pinchas, the son of the high priest, is hanging out and he hears something. And in fact, before that, the Israelite men had become very fond of some non-Israelite women. God didn't like the fondness, sent a plague, told them to stop. That night, our man Pinchas hears an Israelite man, a non-Israelite woman, go to the tabernacle, the very steps of the altar, to become fond of each other. Pinchas picks up his spear and stabs them through on the spot. And in response, God praises Pinchas and says, that was exactly the right thing. Good job, Pinchas. So some years I'm left feeling, how could we possibly look up to this person? How could God praise someone for such a violent act? And some years I feel only if we could have such zealous believers in Judaism that feel such passion for trying to do God's will. We know often what is right, and yet we don't have the passion, the stamina, the effort to follow through. If only we had Pinchas's fortitude. And in fact, the sources have the same whiplash that I do. We have some sources that hold Pinchas up as a paragon of faith, and others that say that if this happened today, Pinchas would be dragged before the rabbinic court and found guilty and himself sentenced to death. That in and of itself is amazing, that rabbis would say that a man praised by God for his actions would be punished by human court, by rabbinic court. That in and of itself is amazing. This year, though, as I read the rest of the parsha, I found perhaps a way to live in the middle. The other part of our parsha shares the daughters of Tselofehad. I don't think I pronounced that right, but these daughters are not going to inherit anything. Because they are women, all of their father's holdings, all of the father's assets are going to be lost amongst the tribes of Israel, which matters in particular because of where the Israelites are. They are on the precipice of entering the land of Israel. This means the daughters of Tselofehad, as a family, won't have any plot in the land of Israel. And they stand up and they say, Moses, this isn't fair. And Moses goes and checks with God, and God says, yeah, they're right. We should change the law. They should get the inheritance. That's the way we should do things. So we've got Pinchas stabbing these two people. And we have the daughters of Tselofehad, who peacefully talk to Moses and get things changed. What's the connection? What's the similarity? Both cases are cases in which the perpetrator rejects the status quo. The status quo in the daughters of Tselofehad case was they shouldn't get any inheritance. They said no, and they made a change, and it worked. In Pinchas' case, despite that extraordinarily heinous act of these two people, the right thing would have been to drag them in front of a judge or to wait for divine punishment. And Pinchas didn't wait either. And what I in particular love is that the results are not the same. Pinchas is praised by God, but there's no change to the legal system. In fact, the rabbis understand so much that this is outside the legal system that they say Pinchas was wrong. The daughters of Tselofehad, God also sides with, but the entire system changes. So what are we left with? And I think it's two lessons. The first is that it is our job constantly and always to use our internal clocks, our internal conscience, our internal voice, to know when what is supposed to happen is not right. When is the status quo not okay and we should stand up and do something about it? Both of these stories carry a case like that. And then the second lesson comes from the place of the status quo. The establishment, our job as the establishment, because every one of us at some point is either challenging the establishment or is the establishment. Our job is sometimes to change, as in the cases of the daughters of Tzelofechad. And sometimes we might say, yes, this one instance, it was the right thing to do, but we can't live like this. This is an unacceptable way to live. We won't change the status quo. So this Shabbat, as we enter what is apparently going to be a hot summer, I wish each of us the chance to look inside. What is the norm of our own lives? What are we going to challenge? What are we going to try and say, this is not okay, I'm going to do it differently? And what are we going to hold fast to? What are we going to keep the same even though we feel a desire to change it? What matters enough that we're going to hold strong unto that practice? And with that, I say Shabbat Shalom.